Hello, Dr. Shweta.
Hello, good
Hi,
evening.
this is Vidya. Good evening. I will be your moderator, and I think we've got only one speaker in this session, so you have a little extra time, which I think we can take advantage of. So what we could do is you can speak, and after that, I'll probably ask you a few questions,
Sure.
which you can try and respond. So let me give a quick introduction before we start. So I'm going to keep the introduction short in the interest of time. And if you want to share something more about yourself as you speak, please feel free to do so. Good day to all of you out there. Welcome again to this session on emotional quotient needed for a caregiver. That's the topic for this afternoon. And to speak on this topic, we have with us Dr. Shweta Vikram, who is a dental surgeon, actually a multifaceted dental surgeon, I must say. She has interests in music. She's a trained classical singer. She loves traveling and she learns through her travels. She's an avid reader and she also enjoys cooking. Over to you, Shweta.
Thank you so much. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, since you're all of you participants are from all over the world. So it's not how much you do, but how much you love you put in the doing, said Mother Teresa. And emotional quotient is the ability to understand, use, and manage your own emotions in positive ways to relieve stress, communicate effectively, empathize with others to overcome challenges. The word caregiver speaks for itself. Caregiving often calls us to lean into love we didn't know possible. The disease might hide the person underneath, but there is still a person who needs your love and attention. So try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. I was fortunate enough to live with my grandparents for a larger part of my life. And looking back, their presence has enriched my life in more ways than I can imagine. And my paternal grandmother had faced serious medical issues and was confined to bed for most part of her life. And I don't recall her walking without aids. And my mother took care of her mostly. I watched how she beautifully balanced home, her career, and also being physically and emotionally present for my grandmother. And I didn't understand the depth or the difficulty to hit this balance back then. But now that I'm older and I manage a family of my own, I realize it now. It's definitely not easy. My grandmother was a very adorable and sweet person, but she was petrified of any sort of medical issues, which made treatment and prognosis that much more difficult. So in such cases, a lot of positive reinforcement and encouragement is needed. And it is imperative for the caregiver to be patient and to understand the mental status of the patient, the person involved. Their fears and mental blocks are real, although they may seem irrelevant to us. And nursing care is different from the role of a caregiver. Nursing care involves a degree of medical attention as well, the extent of which depends on the status of the patient. So it is difficult to provide nursing care to play the role of a caregiver and also don other responsibilities such as being a wife, a mother, or balancing a career of their own and give full justice to all of these roles. So that's where the importance of hiring a help comes to one's rescue. At first, you need to identify that you need ex additional help apart from your own and accept help when it's provided. You don't have to try to be a superhero every time. My paternal grandfather was diagnosed with Parkinson's plus, which is a neurodegenerative disease which attacks brain and nerve cells. So along with the physical challenges on a day-to-day basis, he also started forgetting people, his own kith and kin. I have seen him as a very active and agile person, so this was a devastating time for us. But we managed to keep our chins up and decided to battle the disease the best possible way that we could. We used to put up pictures of family pictures and writings on the walls of his bedroom to help him recollect his past and remember all of us. Like, for example, my name is so and so, my son's name is so and so. He forgot who he was, he forgot his name, he forgot all of us. So this helped. On occasions when it didn't, he used to address my mother as his office secretary or me as his childhood friend. We just used to play along and share a laugh or two as he recollected his childhood memories. at the end of the day, keeping him comfortable and happy was all that mattered. So as per the neurologist's advice, we started physiotherapy for him, and we needed to take him for multiple checkups. And it was becoming increasingly difficult given the muscle degeneration and other problems associated with the disease. So a few times we had to take him in an ambulance, and it was a toll on him, and he used to get really tired at the end of the day. So we started making videos of him walking or, you know, during his physical therapy sessions. And we used to send the videos to the doctor, and he used to play them and modify the dosages of the drugs or change the treatment plan accordingly based on his travel and also the waiting period at the doctor's clinic. So we can on a day-to-day basis. Such situations can be emotionally. Okay. Is it okay now?
It's okay now. You are breaking up, so I think you're fine.
Such situations can be emotionally exhausting, especially when you have too much on your plate. Always have patience and love, and don't feel guilty about taking time off for yourself. As important as it is to be compassionate and patient, it is also extremely important that you don't burn out. Sustenance is the key here, because in most cases, caregiving is a long-term challenge, and not just in situations where the caregiver in concern is also managing a career of his or her own. Even a homemaker should take time out for herself. So after all, the entire household runs on her shoulders, and it is very easy to be drawn into the mundane routine and not realize that you're actually burning yourself out. So when your shoulders start feeling too heavy, you know, you should take time out, go for a drive, sing, dance, anything. So recall your favorite things and indulge in them once in a while. Recharging one's batteries, I think, is very important for a caregiver. And it is not always a rosy picture. And do you know it is doubly difficult to take care of a patient who is also a doctor himself? We were faced with this unfortunate situation with my maternal grandfather when he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a type of malignancy. Although he diagnosed himself very early and initiated treatment immediately, we were unlucky that the condition relapsed in a deadlier fashion. And being a doctor himself, he knew exactly how the disease would progress, which didn't make things easy at all. And ironic as it may sound, you don't expect a doctor to fall sick. So in my eyes, he was always invincible. So watching him get smaller and weaker with every chemotherapy was heart-wrenching. But it wasn't the time to get emotional and give up. So as a family, we stood by him, tried to raise his spirits up, kept our emotional support going. And he continued practice till his very end and treated patients until his last day. And he is the most dedicated and disciplined person I've ever met, and is the sole reason that I'm a dentist today. And whether you become a caregiver gradually or all of a sudden because of a crisis, whether you become one willingly or by default, I think many emotions surface when you take up the job. So whatever your situation, it is important that to remember that you too are important. All of your emotions, good and bad about caregiving, are not only allowed, but valid and relevant as well. So it is common to lose it while providing care. Acceptable even, I think. So in such situations, when it happens, forgive yourself. So I was just talking about ways and means you can cope with physical and emotional stress that comes with caregiving. There are various online support groups and self-help groups that you can be part of for emotional support or even ideas on how to manage certain difficult situations. Like, for example, for Alzheimer's disease, there's Alzheimer's Association support group or memory people. These are just few examples. And for cancer, there is Cancer Sahyog, which is an emotional support group initiated by Indian Cancer Society, Delhi. These are just few examples. There are various other support groups for specific diseases which you can be part of to vent for emotional support. And just to give you the feeling that you're not battling with something like this all alone, there are people all around the world facing situations similar to yours. And small changes in lifestyle to make things easier, like moving around furniture to create more room for easy mobility, fixing handrails on bedroom and bathroom walls, making sure that the floor is not slippery, removing latches and bolts from doors so the patient doesn't accidentally lock themselves in. This is especially important for people, you know, suffering from dementia or other neurologically related diseases. And railings on sides of bed to prevent the patient from falling off. And intercom bell for assistance. See, a caregiver cannot be 24/7 with the patient. So in such cases, this helps to call for immediate assistance. And I feel it's like baby-proofing your apartment when you expect a baby. And this is a situation similar to that. And it is also important to make sure that the patient doesn't feel completely dependent on the caregiver, because it can be a frustrating situation. Put yourself in their shoes. You wouldn't want to be completely dependent on X or Y, or even if they are your family members, it would be irritating and frustrating for you. So small changes like this can go a long way in making the patient comfortable and also the life of the caregiver easy. And set realistic goals. It's not possible to nurse your grandmother all morning, rush to back-to-back meetings, and then attend your child's school play, and then come back and, you know, throw a party for your niece, whip up a fancy meal for your husband all in one day. It's physically not possible. So let's be realistic here and delegate when you can. And arrange for a substitute caregiver. In situations where additional nursing care is needed, you need to hire help. And first, you need to identify that you need additional help. And then comes the part when you need to hire help and accept help when it's provided. And in many cases, patients need round-the-clock assistance, like the onus of feeding, bathing, and all the primary care's needs falls basically on the caregiver. And this is a 24/7, 365 day a year job, and there is no holiday. So one can hire help for a few hours in a day and or specific days of the week so that, you know, you can take some time off. I think you deserve it. So you can't pour from an empty cup, as I was talking about earlier. It is important that you take care of yourself as well. Now, wouldn't it be nice to be an eternal optimist and for a caregiver who never gets frustrated? Maybe there are caregivers like that. Maybe you are one of them. I applaud your emotional strength if you are one. But however, many of us who provide care for aging or ill loved ones don't fall into that category. I know I don't. So I know of many caregivers who are frustrated and emotionally exhausted. Not that they are not compassionate people. They are very compassionate people. But I think that they haven't dealt with their emotions the right way. And all the more when the caregiver themselves aren't young. So they have physical and health issues to battle with themselves. And your health does take a toll. So it starts with losing sleep, physical stress, mental exhaustion, and so on and so forth. You should find constructive ways of expressing yourself. One shouldn't suffer in silence. Involve family. So don't be a one-man army. I think caregiving is not a single person's job. It's a family effort. So sometimes the one who has been there for everybody else needs someone to be there for them as well. So this way, healthcare, primary care is not compromised. And also the primary caregiver does not reach physical and emotional exhaustion. So I feel that caregiving is an art. Acknowledge that not many are blessed compassion, patience, and strength that most caregivers must possess. I call myself extremely lucky to have had life. Over the years, I think I have learned to strike the balance to provide the care necessary, without losing myself in the process. I think the key is to practice detached attachment. It is imperative that you learn when to switch off, hand over the reins to a substitute caregiver, step back even for a brief period just to recharge your batteries and come back. This is in the best interest of the loved one in concern and yourself. I thank WEF and everyone involved in this wonderful effort for this opportunity to speak about something which is very close to my heart. Thank you all for patiently listening.
Thank you, Dr. Shweta. That was surely straight from the heart and a very enriching story. And I'm sure all of us, at some point or the other, have either been patients or caregivers or on both sides. I've definitely been on both sides, can resonate with a lot of what you're saying. I just have, since we have a little bit of time, I have a couple of questions which I thought I can ask you. So you did talk about the importance of taking time out. So did you, as a caregiver, especially during those intense periods, did you set up any kind of regular practice of, say, meditation or anything that worked for you that enabled you to recharge yourself?
I was a student when my grandparents were not well.
Okay.
And so it was, like I said, it was a family effort. My mother was the primary caregiver, but all of us pitched in when we could. And we used to divide the time that, you know, make sure that all enough rest and ample rest. And my grandparents also get the enough attention that is needed. And now his grandmother at home, I am working currently. And I think it's about giving enough time for all aspects of your life and also to be there when they essentially need you. I try to balance my work timings so that I'm around when they need me. And I think with practice, with time, one can adapt to the situation easily.
My question was, so is it that it's not necessary to have a practice that you set up for yourself, like some meditation or music or whatever you can use yourself in so that you can unwind? Is it that you can manage just by, like you said, scheduling different times where different people take care and so on? I'm just wondering, how did your mother cope with all of this?
She was working then, and she managed her career. She put up the office very close to home so that she can come and go when things at home are a little dicey. But I feel that whether you have a career of your own or you are a homemaker, you must have other avenues where, you know, it's just time for yourself. Right. You need time out. You cannot just be a primary caregiver 24/7.
Absolutely.
Because somebody who has done this job will be able to agree with me. It's emotionally exhausting. It's physically extremely stressful. And I enjoy doing it. Not that I don't. I enjoy being a caregiver. But for anybody doing this, I think they should take time out for themselves every day, at least a minimal time even. Just to recharge and come back, because it's difficult to do this 24/7. Like I said, there is no holiday. You can take time off from work. You can take time off from school. You can take time off from studies, but this, you know, the person needs you 24/7.
It's a lag.
So you just have to find a way to take time off yourself. That's where. Is it better now? Were you able to hear me?
Yeah, well, there was a bit of a lag. Yeah, we're okay now. Yeah, so what do you do during that time off? Is it necessary to set up some practice, is my question. Or you can just by putting yourself away from the situation, is that good enough?
It depends on whether you have a career of your own. Or, you know, you can just indulge in one of your interests, music, dance, you know, even meeting people. And it depends on whether what your interests are and whether you have a career of your own to attend to. And in any case, you need to do something to unwind, to do something that take time off and come back, so that if it is a mundane sort of routine. So you'll be able to be a better caregiver when you take time off and come back. I think it is completely necessary to at least, you know, give some time off your interest to pursue your passions as well in the time that you get off.
The other question I have is okay, your managing your emotions is one thing, but how do you also manage, you're not just managing the patient in terms of physiological symptoms, you're also managing their emotions, right? There are periods when they go through huge frustration, just the feeling of helplessness. And so one is not really trained for all these things. You're just sort of trying to cope.
Yeah.
And then there are relationship dynamics with people that are very close to you. How do you manage those?
I don't think any of us are trained. Most of us aren't trained to be a caregiver. We just learn on the go. And we've had medical issues, starting from neurologically related issues to malignancy, and having gone through so much, I'll be able to tell you that, you know, each patient is different, each person is different. You will face a lot of criticism, a lot of difficulties from family members themselves.
Right.
And a patient's emotional status changes every day. You know, one day they'll be extremely happy and, you know, happy with their status. Next day they'll be extremely depressed. And you just have to take it by the day. There is no set rule or set equation to handle things. You just have to take it as the day comes. You need to have a lot of patience and a lot of, you need to provide hope that sometimes things may not improve. But you need to give the hope to the patient that, you know, it's not at the end of the day. Things are actually better. And, you know, you need to provide that care and make sure that they are happy at the end of the day. And each day is different and each patient is different. So there's no set equation to set way to deal with a patient. You just learn it on the go.
Okay. One last question is, how do you try and create a normal life around for everybody else? Okay, these are typically very long drawn periods of illness, right? One person is ill, but then there are children, there are the people of different age groups, and people have to live their lives also. A simple thing like a birthday party. I mean, so yes. There'll be. So how do you do these?
And yes, yes.
How do you manage the, you know, sort of straddle these areas?
I think family adapts very easily, especially children adapt very easily. I have a 6-year-old son at home, and he's learning to be a better caregiver than me. I'm very happy about it, because he's seen me take care of the aged ones at home. And for him, it's become the way of life. And we sort of adjust our, I wouldn't call it adjust. We live accordingly. We're happy doing it. And he's also adapted exceptionally well. And I think it's the mindset. It's about living with difficult situations. Initially, it is difficult when you're a caregiver for the first time or the initial days of the crisis. You learn to adapt. You learn to live around the situations and you make the best of it. And having said that, my son is very close to his grandmother, and there are times when she doesn't remember him. There are times when she doesn't remember me. But my son deals with it extremely well. He plays along. So whomever he addresses him, she addresses him as, he plays along. So it's like a drama at home. So it's surprising that children are able to adapt so well. I think we should learn a lot from them. So it's just living by the day, and I don't think it's that difficult at all. It's just the way your mindset.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Shweta. Am I audible to you? The video is frozen.
Thank you so much.
This is, you clearly.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible now. Yeah, a little patchy, but yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
So you clearly have dealt with multiple cases in your family, still dealing with, and sort of a veteran of sorts in this. I'm sure there have been some very useful insights that people can pick up from this. I found that very, very practical approach to the whole thing. And it's so nice that you keep your cheerful demeanor despite whatever you've had or still going through and so on, and managing to have a career which is again, I'm sure, a very taxing career. Dental surgeon is not something that's easy. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you for the wonderful questions. I was able to elaborate a little more in my mind. So thank you for that as well.
We had the luxury of time, so I was able to do that. Thank you so much for your open and honest sharing. Before we close, I have the honor and privilege of presenting to you, on behalf of WEF, Dr. Shweta Vikram, the award of Iconic Woman Creating a Better World for All. And I think this award, the way it's worded, truly takes on a very different and deep meaning from the point of view of what you've been sharing, caregiving, truly creating a better world for all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The soft copy of the award will come to you.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you and good day.